Mr. Critland, welcome to our session. You call yourself radio futurologist.
Yes.
Yes,
it's a good word. I've made it up, actually.
Yeah, you made it up, yeah. I thought so, yeah.
So my background, as you'll see, is I'm a radio person. So I've worked in radio for the last 26 years or so now. And I've been a radio presenter. I've looked after websites like National Radio in the UK, Virgin Radio, where I looked after both what we did in terms of websites, what we did in terms of DAB and other platforms. Worked for the BBC for a couple of years. It's the law. Everybody has to. No, not really. But it's still quite a fun place to work, and I ended up redoing all of the radio station streaming while I was there. And for the last 6 years or so, I've been working for myself, working for a lot of different companies across the world, helping them understand what's next, and you know, really trying to make sure that radio continues to be relevant and as great a medium as radio has been over the last 100 years.
So we're looking forward to your speech, to speed note.
Have to open that. And everything should be happy. Look at that.
This is also a phone call, by the way.
I'm aware of that now. So, good morning, good morgen. So, as you've heard, my name is James. Es tut mir sehr leid. Ich bin einer fauler Engländer. I really speak no German, as you can possibly tell, so apologies that I will be speaking in English. As you've heard, my background is in terms of radio. I've worked for a variety of different organisations. When I was at Virgin Radio, we launched the world's first mobile phone app back in March of 2005. If you listened to an hour of Virgin Radio on your 3G phone, it would only cost you €15, so you could have gone out and bought a Coldplay CD for that. And frankly, it would have been much the same sort of affair. Then I worked for the BBC, as you've heard. And while I was working at the BBC, I also was part of the original team thinking up the idea that has become the radio player. The UK's and now Germany, Austria, Ireland, Norway, Belgium, a radio player that the industry owns and that the industry wants to use to make radio better. Now I'm working as a radio futurologist. What is one of those? Well, I'm a writer, I'm a speaker, and a consultant. These are some people who've paid their bills recently, which is nice of them. And I also run a media website called media.info, which is very good. So today I'm going to talk about where the future of radio is going. I'm going to talk a little bit about how people are consuming radio and where that's going to change. I'm going to talk about the rise of on-demand as well, something that I call atomization and Lego bricking, and also cover a little bit about Apple Music as well. So firstly, though, I just want to point out that actually, there's lots of people who talk about radio being dead. This is Fox News, very large news channel in the US, fair and balanced, apparently. They say that radio is dead. Is Apple iTunes next? Well, radio isn't dead, as we well know. In fact, across the world, radio is tremendously popular. If you look in the UK or the US, or Switzerland, or even randomly the Ukraine, you can see that 9 out of 10 people are tuning into radio every single week. I know that Germany has daily figures. I'd love to know a weekly figure, just so that I can add it onto this chart. And I think this is partially because radio is very good at reinventing itself. Radio is really good at understanding what it does and can actually sit there and reinvent what it does. And I think this is a good sign. And I think this is a good sign as well. Thank you. But radio, as we know, has a tremendous part in people's lives. This was a clipping I saw in the papers last year in Minneapolis. And it says, officers went to the Discovery Center regarding a suspicious vehicle. The driver told officers he had stopped to listen to a good song on the radio. That's radio making life easier for petty thieves everywhere. And I particularly like this as well in Nigeria, where if you steal somebody's car radio, then they hang you, which seems quite sensible to me. So where's radio going? Well, radio has a new multi-platform future. If you look at how people tune into radio, then if you look at the UK, which is one of the more advanced multi-platform radio landscapes, then only 54% of all radio listening is actually happening on an FM-AM radio. Now, let's do a show of hands to see what the next most popular one is. You can listen, as you can here in Germany, you can listen to radio through TV. So you'll find radio stations at the top of the electronic program guide. You can listen to radio on DAB and DAB Plus in the UK. And you can listen to radio, of course, online. Let's have a show of hands for which you think is the next most popular in terms of people tuning in to the radio. Who thinks the next most popular is TV, radio through the TV? No hands going up whatsoever. Not even one person that wants to be brave. Okay. DAB, next most popular. 4-5 hands. And online? Okay, and everybody who's put their hand up just then is wrong. Look at that. And I think that's very interesting, because actually what that shows is that people are consuming radio on devices that look like a radio. Happens to be DAB, happens to work in a different way, but the user experience of radio, you press a button, it makes a noise, and then when you've finished with it, you press a button and it stops making that noise. That's a great user experience, and that's the user experience that you get from a box that looks like a radio, whether it's FM or whether it's DAB Plus as well. It's actually more complicated than that. If you look at these two radio stations, One Extra, it's an urban radio station. It's aimed at young people. You can see that there's a good mix there between DAB, radio through the television, and the internet. I should point out these aren't on FM in the UK. And then you have a look at Radio 6 Music. 6 Music is aimed at people that like good music, that are, you know, 35 to 44, they're tall, they wear glasses, they have a beard. And you can look at how that radio station does, and you can see that that does very well. In terms of DAB, lots of people tuning in on DAB. TV, much less important. Why might that be? Well, it might be because teenagers don't have radios in their rooms anymore, but they do have televisions in their rooms. And One Extra being available on Freeview on their television in their room means that it's a radio station they can actually tune into while they're doing their homework, while they're getting ready to go out. So actually the platform for listening to radio is actually quite different for every single station out there. And at home, we're listening to digital now more than FM or AM. The car is dragging that down. And in London, actually everywhere, we're now listening to new platforms rather than analog FM or AM. It's not just the UK. Norway is also seeing a very similar pattern. There's the blue at the top, is the FM going down. And you can see the DAB increasing there as well. Internet, relatively stable, as well as radio listening through the TV as well. And you'll probably already know that in Norway they're turning FM off completely in 2017. No more FM for the large national and regional stations. For 95% of radio in Norway is going to be turned off FM in just 2 years. You'll see that there's quite a nice jump in the middle there for DAB, and you might wonder why that might be. And this is a trend that's going on across many parts of the world as well, is that radio stations are adding more new stations to better serve their audience. NRK P1 is the main music station in Norway. It realized that it was getting quite old. It realized that its audience were quite literally dying. So it decided that it was going to make itself younger, move the audience younger, move the music younger, but it added an additional radio station, NRK P1 Plus, which has all of the old music and the old presenters. And they put that onto DAB only. And that's why you saw that great big jump in terms of DAB sales in Norway. But this isn't just about DAB, this is about online as well. In Australia, ABC, the public service broadcaster, one of the two there, they have a radio station online and on DAB+, which does different things at different times. So sometimes it's broadcasting an entire day's worth of stuff about the Chinese New Year. Sometimes it's broadcasting a weekend of programs about vinyl to celebrate the anniversary of the compact disc. All of this kind of stuff is new, interesting radio that you can only really do on a new platform, like online and DAB+. Radio 2 in the UK has a programme on it called Radio 2 Country. Earlier on this year, it launched an additional radio station called Radio 2 Country that lasted for 3 days, that's all, to really highlight that programming of that main radio station. They also did one for Eurovision only a couple of weeks ago. We love Eurovision because we always lose. If you look at somewhere else as well, when this next slide eventually loads, there we are, finally. South Africa. This South African private radio station launched an additional radio station called Oscar Extra. That was a radio station just doing the trial there, and it lasted for months and months, as you can expect. That was great for them because lots of people ended up tuning into that, and it was also very good in terms of commercial opportunities as well, in terms of advertising. This is one of the real success stories, Absolute Radio. It's a radio station in the UK, and they have launched a ton of additional radio stations that you can see on the right-hand side there, which are radio stations that play music from specific decades and specific types of music. Not that difficult for them to set up, because they're using exactly the same music catalogue, but really simple and really easy. And this is what's happened to their audience. You can actually see... I need a new Mac, clearly. You can actually see... Look at that, finally. You can actually see that the main radio station has stayed fairly static, but all of those additional radio stations now account for the same amount of hours again for that radio station. So they've now got twice as much advertising space to go out and sell. So that should mean twice as much money. They're also the UK's biggest digital-only commercial radio station. Which is a tremendous achievement for a radio station which is never actually live. So there are real opportunities in multi-platform. The way that people are consuming radio is changing in terms of live radio. Not just FM now, but tuning into radio on a number of different platforms. Online is not as big as you think. Let's have a look at on-demand now. Because on-demand, listen again, is a very important part of where radio is going. I have two exciting graphs. So many exciting graphs. Here's the first exciting graph. This is showing the total amount of time spent listening to the radio. And as you can see, this is fairly obvious that the total amount of time, the total amount of consumption of radio is to live radio. There's a tiny amount of on-demand. Okay, so why are we bothering about on-demand? Why do we care about on-demand? Well, two things. Firstly, live radio never stops, and on-demand does, clearly. So therefore, live radio will always be longer than on-demand. But secondly, this doesn't tell the whole story, because actually the whole story is people using on-demand versus live is a very different story indeed. Here's another graph. Excellent. You can see the blue at the top is people tuning into live radio. So you can see that there's a nice peak, as we normally have in the UK, just after 8 o'clock, as people are tuning into the breakfast show. You can see that there's another peak around drive time as people drive home, and a little peak at about 10 o'clock at night, as maybe people are listening to the late-night news. But the green is people using on-demand radio. And I think you can see some two very interesting things here. Firstly, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, there's a nice jump in terms of the amount of people using on-demand. Would anybody like to guess why that might be? Tea time. It's actually the end of school time in the UK, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And so quite a lot of that is younger people, younger audiences, choosing on-demand, choosing the programmes they might have missed during the day. But the other one is far more interesting, I think, and that's at 11 o'clock at night. You will know if you're doing your own research that 11 o'clock at night is an amazing time for on-demand radio because people are using it an awful lot, particularly in their beds, particularly in their rooms once they've sort of finished for the day. And you can see that at the end of the day, actually on-demand, in terms of people using it, is more popular than live radio. On-demand is an incredibly interesting thing. It might not deliver the hours, but it's definitely delivering the amount of people using it. So on-demand is definitely part of where the future is. And our competitors as well are noticing the power of on-demand. So Spotify is now using podcasts. They've got podcasts in there. There's also a bit of podcasting in terms of Deezer as well, who bought a podcast app called Stitcher. Apple bought a podcast app called Swell. And as you'll know, Apple is really the king in terms of getting podcasts out there. And something very interesting going on in the US as people are leaving traditional radio and moving into podcast makers who all of a sudden now have lots and lots of funds to go out and do some very interesting content. So that's one thing around on-demand, but I think there's also another wider question around how we make radio and how the whole idea of making radio might need to change as we continue looking into where the future of radio is. Back in 1974, this is a radio station called Radio Hallam. It's in Sheffield in the UK. And it spent the equivalent today of millions of euros on their new radio studios. Millions and millions of euros. Move on to 2009. This is a radio station that didn't. A radio station that it's a kids' radio station in the UK. It has a studio which it uses for a couple of hours a day. It's mostly played out from a playout system. It uses a great big rack of equipment. It's very clever. But it's a virtual radio station. It doesn't always have people sitting there and working on it. If you move even closer, this is 2013, a radio station called Jazzabit, which is in Oslo in Norway. This has everything all in one computer. Playout, processing, encoding for DAB+, as well as encoding for online, all of that happens in one computer. Really simple, straightforward. It's a really simple way of making a radio station. Where I think the future of radio is this. It's the playout and processing and encoding and all of that stuff that we've been doing in our own beautiful, large buildings will now be done in millions of computers in people's mobile phones. And actually, that's not necessarily happening in the future. For some people, it's happening now. Here's an example from the US. This is a radio station called NPR One. And what NPR One does, it's really easy. It's really simple and straightforward, and you really ought to give it a try. The first thing it does when you tune in is it gives you your news, both the national news and your local news as well. Then it goes into reports from both your national NPR, but also your local NPR station, with cues so you actually understand what's going in there. What they've done is they've atomized, they've taken each individual component of their radio programs out, and they've made that, they've made all of those separate. So you can skip stuff, you can mark things as interesting as well, and the app begins to learn what you like and give you more of the stuff that it thinks you will like. And it surprises you as well, which is really nice. So you might get another story about how you get people to work harder, then another story about Greece, and then another story. about Islamic State fighters and so on and so forth. That interesting button is very good because the app then knows which you skip through and which you find interesting. By the way, you skip typically 6 seconds into a story. So if you don't catch people in that initial 6 seconds, which is somebody's cue, if you don't catch people in that cue, then you've lost them. What's really interesting about this is NPR have fiddled around with their algorithms, and they've more than doubled the amount of time that people stay in that app, up from about 17 minutes to about 34 minutes. 34 minutes is huge in terms of total time spent listening for an app. So that's really interesting, and maybe that's part of where our future might be. There's another version of this available that you can download too, called Rivet Radio. Rivet is very interesting in that it's creating content for itself as well as taking content for other people. In my opinion, it's not quite as good an experience, but it's quite interesting seeing other people doing the same kind of stuff. And then there's something else which is going on in Australia called Omni. Omni is very interesting in that it's doing the same kind of thing as NPR One, but for music. So in this particular case, you can see three people who are tuned into their Omni radio station. The one in the middle, for example, is starting with some news from Sydney, the traffic, the weather. Then he wants to have a listen to some music. Then he wants Omni, his app, to read out his email for him. And then he wants a bit of Dan and Maz, who are a big breakfast show in the area. The one at the bottom wants a bit of Fifi and Dave, because although she might live in Sydney, she wants a bit of the Melbourne breakfast show. Then she wants a bit of music, and then she wants to know whose birthdays it is on Facebook, and the system reads that out as well, and so on and so forth. Now, I call this a concept Lego bricking. So it's taking individual blocks of Lego and sticking them together to produce something which is different for every single person. But you can see that those individual blocks of Dan and Maz are in every single one, and the traffic and the weather are in many of them. And I think that that may well be part of where radio's future might be, Lego bricking, to assemble that unique experience from those individual atomized parts of radio. And finally, I should talk about, firstly, let me just reiterate that I think that requires just a rethink about how we make radio. Because we make radio for that live show, don't we? We make radio for that 3-hour-long live show or 2-hour-long live show. That's why we're in radio. But actually, if you start making stuff that you need to be able to atomize, to take into individual bricks, to allow other people to produce something really interesting and personal, then that's something that you need to really think about when you're making radio. Finally, let's talk about Apple Music, given that it was announced only 12 or so hours ago. Apple Music have announced, if you don't know, three different things. They've announced on-demand music streaming, much like Deezer, much like Spotify. In fact, it's exactly the same as Deezer or Spotify. There's nothing particularly exciting about that. They've launched a set of humanly curated genre streams, so rock music or top 40 or all that kind of stuff, just like Spotify, just like Deezer. There's nothing exciting about that either. And then they've launched a linear radio station called Beats One, and this is what they call their linear station. They call it a proper live radio station. They say that it's dedicated to music and music culture, and everybody will hear the same great programming at the same time. Wow, Apple have invented radio. This is an amazing thing. They've got three DJs who they've signed up, who are all really interesting. Zane Lowe is from New Zealand, but he's been presenting a new music show on Radio 1, the UK's top 40 station in the UK. Ebro Darden is a program director for Power 97, which is a hip-hop station in New York. And Julie Adenuga, I had not heard of until Apple's announcement. She is actually a really interesting radio DJ. She's been doing stuff in London for quite some time, but on a tiny radio station that plays grunge and hip-hop and jungle music and all kinds of stuff. So it'll be really interesting hearing what they do. I have to say, though, that my take on Beats One is that it's actually a bit dull. It's just another live linear radio station. And as we all know, looking at our online stats, those are not growing online anymore. So I think it's going to get an audience, but I don't think it's going to get much of one. And I think there are so many missed opportunities that Apple have here. There's no skippability, so I can't skip a song that I don't like. There's no atomization. There's no listen again, even. So actually, I think it'll be really interesting seeing what Apple do with this and what Apple learn with this. But my overall take on it is it's a non-interactive, unchangeable stream on the most interactive device that you have, and an interactive device that you always have with you and is always within arm's reach. That, I don't think, is a particularly good match. So it'll be really interesting to see what happens. Finally, I would say that there's also more to life than just music. And if you're just a new music fan, that's a really small niche for Apple to go after. It's no wonder that Daniel Ek, the founder of Spotify, said this in reaction. Oh, okay. He was not particularly scared by it, and I don't think that any of us need to be either. So in closing, I'd say that the future of radio is a really good future, actually. The future of radio is a really good future if we remember two things, if we remember what radio is all about. Radio is all about a human connection. Radio is all about a shared experience. That doesn't need to be live. It doesn't need to be local, but it does need to be a human connection, proper radio, a shared experience. And if we remember that that is our main thing, the main thing that we have that none of these algorithmic jukeboxes can ever manage to hit, then the future's really bright. And that'll make our advertisers smile if we have advertisers. That'll make our the people who work with us smile, and that'll make our audience smile. An audience is smiling is always a good thing. Thank you very much for your time. I hope that's helpful. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you very much. Much input. Thank you very much. Here we are in Deutschlandfunk. We are a Funkhaus full of eggheads producing, broadcasting for eggheads. What do you think is our future?
I think your future is the future of many other people who have great content, which is a really good future. I think, you know, you're really good at not producing a radio station, which is just 10 great songs in a row. If I was running Energy right now, or I was running any of the other big top 40 radio stations, I would be working out what I do next, because I don't think that a radio station that just plays 10 great songs in a row has much of a future. And I think that actually where the real future is in unique content and really interesting content. And you guys have that so much here. So, yeah, I think that the future is really good.
So, good news for us. We have noch 7 minutes left for questions from the audience.
I should just say as well, I have a very good newsletter which you can all get for free. I may have put it on the screen. Do go and grab that. Any questions?
Nur Mut. Ich kann es im Zweifel versuchen zu übersetzen. Bitte schön.
I've been wondering, I don't know anyone who uses DAB. Anyone. I've never met anyone who uses it. So how come your numbers say that so many people use it? Is that just a UK phenomenon or...?
I don't think it's a UK phenomenon. I think it's a I think there are two things there. Firstly, it's really difficult now in the UK not to buy a radio with DAB inside it, and the same goes for Norway as well. I find it interesting that when I go into a media market, even now, I see lots of FM AM radios and not enough radios that have all of the additional services that you guys are already making. So I find that quite sad. And I think that that's something that the German radio industry really needs to grasp and actually go to MediaMarkt and go to Saturn and other people and say, guys, you really need to be putting in more of these radios, more DAB sets. But I think the other thing is, it's really interesting. Whoever you talk to, whether that's in the UK industry, whether that's in Norway, whether that's in many of the other countries where they've launched DAB+, Australia being another prime example, all of the radio people get really excited about online, because you get numbers back from online and you get, you know, new and exciting things and you can put your picture there and everything else. And actually, at the end of the day, people really like radio on a device that looks like a radio. And I think we are all not normal. We're all looking at where online can take us and where connected devices can take us. And it's always a surprise when you show those figures, whether they're the Norwegian figures or the UK figures, of how popular DAB is. And I think, you know, we underestimate that at our peril.
Also ein Industrieproblem bei uns wahrscheinlich. Noch ein paar Fragen? Wäre schön. Ines Pohl hat eine Frage.
First of all, thank you very much for this performance this morning. It was really very interesting. I think we all learned a lot of it. You know the BBC, and you talked a lot about small operations which really launched this hip, new, innovative radio brands. Could you give us any advice how big organizations like the BBC should organize their change management?
Well, yes, I can. I can, because I can point to what the Canadian public broadcaster did a few years ago. And they did something very, very interesting. They all of the main Canadian English language radio stations are based in Toronto, in Canada. And they realized that there was an opportunity for them to launch a new music station, a station that just played Canadian music, mostly unsigned Canadian music. They thought that there was a good public service benefit in that. And they did something which was really weird. They launched it not in Toronto, but in Vancouver, which is a long way away, about 6 hours flight. Secondly, they hired people that weren't radio people, and they basically said, you don't have to use any of our systems. You don't have to use our playout system. You don't have to use any of the learnings that we have had in the last 20 years. Ignore all of that. Just go and learn and do something interesting. And so they ended up having almost a pirate radio station out there, where they were running things in a very different way, where they were running things of, you know, new young people that were just into the organization, running a radio station in a very different way to the established way. And we're always told, aren't we, that's not the way that we do things here. And I think that was a very interesting idea, to basically give people the opportunity, and it was a radio station, it was online, and it was on satellite radio over there, so it couldn't have done any damage particularly, but it was a new and interesting opportunity to actually get some new, fresh ideas, which they have then taken into the rest of the organisation. So I think the CBC is one very interesting one to have a look at. I think also what they do in Australia is really interesting. That ABC Extra station I was talking about is a radio station that they did for 2 weeks around the Melbourne Arts Festival. And the Melbourne Arts Festival, very big arts festival, and they ran a 24-hour-a-day speech radio station for 2 weeks on ABC Extra. And they had two people running it, that's all, two people. And you think, how did they manage that? Well, actually, it was 4 hours of programming a day, which they repeated round, because that kind of made sense. 2 hours a day was live. 2 hours a day was actually pre-recorded from the ABC archives. So they were using archives, they were using the benefit of repeating programs, because why on earth wouldn't you for a secondary radio station? And they realized that they didn't need hundreds of people running a 24-hour radio station. All they needed was just a few people and a different working practice, a different way of making radio. So I think there's lots to learn from other organizations as well.
So eine letzte Frage noch. Bitte schön.
You didn't say a lot about social media and for a lot of other medias like press or TV, Facebook or Twitter has become one of the most important sources for gaining public and distributing their content. Is the case for radio different in your opinion?
No, the reason why I didn't mention social media... Oh, there we are. There we go. Time up. Well, I'm sorry I can't answer that question in the time available. The reason why I didn't mention social media is you guys already know what you're doing there. You guys are already using social media an awful lot, and I think actually, you know, every single country is very different in terms of how consumers are using social media. Twitter is much less ingrained here than it is in other European countries, for an example. And I think that, you know, social media, of course, you should be doing a lot of that. You should be pointing people not just to a live stream. Stop ringing me. You should be pointing people to a live stream, of course, but also to some of your best programs that you can make available on demand and everything else. So social media is, of course, part of what we should be doing to market our radio station. But there's actually the more fundamental side of what is on that radio station, which I wanted to concentrate on.
So time's running fast. Thank you very much, James Goodland.
Thank you. Dankeschön. Thank you.